From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 29th of April, 2009. 700 Tucsonans filled the seats and hallways of the Tucson City Council facilities yesterday to protest the proposed apartment tax hike. The legislation would raise about $10 million in new annual revenues by jacking residential rents up an average dozen dollars a month. I have an alternative idea for the council critters. There are three radio stations in Tucson who pump the airwaves full of fascist liars, and between the three, KQTH, KNST, and KVOI, they can't attract a full 10% of the available audience. At its best, KVOI only attracts one out of every 100 persons listening to a radio in Tucson at any given moment. Since these stations are so bent on suicide, why not tax them instead of the poorest of your constituents? Near simultaneous shootings have killed seven police officers in Tijuana, as stateside fascist radio and blog propagandists, including Neil Bortz, Michelle Malkin, and Michael Savage Wiener, have started openly blaming the swine flu cases in the United States on undocumented immigrants. Never mind that there has not been any evidence to indicate such a connection, and the initial cases identified in New York were students at a Catholic high school in Queens who took a trip to Cancun. 2 years ago, I wrote an essay stating my belief that the Reich wingers were trying to turn Latinos into their new scapegoats. I got messages wondering what the hell I was talking about. Well, look at Nickelback Joe Arpaio, Lou Dobbs's radio and TV show. Now this new bucket of sewer slop they're dumping on us. By the way, if you haven't heard already, that lousy energy drink Rockstar is owned by Michael Savage Wiener, at least in part, and distributed by Pepsi. If you drink that crap, you're putting money into the pockets of America's most openly fascist hate radio talker, and thus part of the problem. Remember, never again, regardless of which group gets victimized. Up until the 1970s, the Canadian government forced over 150,000 Indian children to attend state-funded religious boarding schools, mostly Catholic, where the modern-day Canadian government now acknowledges physical and sexual abuse were rampant. Most students would be beaten if they spoke their native languages rather than English, for example. The Canadian government has since issued apologies and billions of dollars in compensation for the abuse, and the Catholic Church has itself paid $79 million in compensation. But it was not until this morning's meeting between Canadian Aboriginal leaders and Pope Benedict in Rome that any pope has personally stated an apology for the Church's perpetration of that abuse. Pope Benedict expressed his personal anguish over the issue and told the Aboriginal leaders that he was praying for the wounds caused by the abuse to heal. Phil Fontaine, National Chief of the Canadian Assembly of First Nations, told the Canadian press that they emerged from the meeting happy and comforted. New York City street vendors rallied on the steps of City Hall this morning and demanded that the City Council pass Introduction 324, which they say will create over 10,000 jobs by increasing the licenses and permits for vendors. The legislation would raise the numbers of general merchandising vendors to 15,000 from 853 and food vendors to 25,000 from 3,100. Those lower figures happen to be the 1979 levels they've been frozen at for the past many years. At this point, the Street Vendor Project group in New York City says that new vendors are currently paying $8,000 on the black market for a $75 city permit. May Day rallies are planned for dozens of cities across the United States on Friday, continuing the 123-year-old working-class tradition. The main focal point for most this year will be immigrant worker rights. Participants in Tucson's May Day March will be meeting at Southgate Shopping Center, I-10 at 6th Avenue, at 9 a.m., At 10 o'clock, they will be marching to Armory Park at 220 South 5th Avenue. More information to be found at TucsonMay1st.org. That's TucsonMay1st.org. Oddly, there are two rival May Day rallies in New York City, only a 10-minute walk from each other and with overlapping time schedules. The earlier one will start at noon at Union Square Park, Broadway at East 14th Street, the site of the first official May Day rally, with a feeder rally starting at 2 o'clock at Sarah Delano Roosevelt Park, Grand Street between Forsyth and Christie in Chinatown, which will march to the Union Square rally at 3 o'clock. Then at 5:30, that rally will march down Broadway to the Federal Building for a downtown rally at 7 p.m. That's all relating to the earlier rally. The other rally at Madison Square Park, East 23rd Street between Madison and Fifth Avenues, starts at 1:30, only 90 minutes later than the Union Square Park rally, half a mile away. The Union Square Park rally appears to be the more openly demanding of the Obama administration to fulfill the president's campaign pledges to American workers. The usual political differences are being blamed for the split in those two New York rallies. The covert environmental activist group Agenda 21 is claiming it has scuttled a Norwegian whaling ship, the Skarbak, just off the Lofoten Islands in the Norwegian Sea. The ship was being operated by Norwegian underwriters and Japanese investors. Agenda 21 previously sank the Willassen Senior in the same region in August 2007. 13 whaling ships have been scuttled by covert activists in the last 30 years. Last week, AT&T held its annual shareholders meeting at a Dallas hotel. The shareholders were met by members of the Communications Workers of America from Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Kansas, who have been working without a contract from AT&T for the last 3 weeks. AT&T wants to slash health care benefits. A CWA strike against AT&T is still a strong possibility. And an obituary today for country music star Vern Gosden at a Nashville hospital last night, age 74. He had suffered a stroke a few weeks back. Gosden started out as a gospel singer on his parents' Alabama radio show in the 50s, then becoming a bluegrass musician in the Golden State Boys, the Hillmen, and the Gosden Brothers bands of the 60s. Gosden started hitting the country record charts on his own in 1977. He had won the CMA Song of the Year Award in 1989 with Chiseled in Stone. And if you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today. The Golden Arches took it on the Arches in Malaysia yesterday. The fast food chain McDonald's had claimed that a Kuala Lumpur restaurant serving Indian and Malaysian fast food, such as fish head curry, infringed on the chain's registered trademarks by calling itself McCurry. Judge Gopal Sri Ram of the appeals court in Kuala Lumpur has ruled that McDonald's does not have a monopoly on the prefix Mc on signage or in conducting business in Malaysia. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.